Would you pray with me? Father, the fact that we get to sing that and it be true. If we find ourselves in the fire, you're there with us. And if the cross means transformation, and I'll be crucified with you. Christ be magnified. May that be the cries of our hearts this morning and every day, the rest of our life. God, you tell us, Lord, if we want our life to count for eternity, we have to die to ourselves and magnify Christ. So, Lord, help us, this gathering, this moment, be a reminder to us, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the point. He went first, and so he should be first in everything. In our hearts, in this church, Christ be magnified this morning. God, be big. We pray this in all things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, it is good to see you this morning. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us and making much of Jesus, magnifying the name of Jesus. And this morning is a special morning because this is through much prayer and lots of conversations. We want to give you as a church, we want to give you a mark to hit. Like this is where we're going. This is who we are, right? And I feel like as your pastor, along with the other pastors, the Lord puts things on our hearts, and this is where we want to go. And this is the type of church that we want to be, right? We want the Lord to use us in such a way. And we know that all of that, everything that you hear today comes straight from Scripture. Right, like we can't go anywhere or tell you anything that Scripture hasn't already went and told you. So we go to the book, right? Because what do we have? We have a book. We have the words of God. And so this isn't anything new. Like what we're going to tell you is you're familiar with a lot of this. But I think we just need to be reminded of why we exist, right? What we're doing and where God is taking us. So we want to be able to see that target. Hey, this morning, I want to give you an illustration of that. Garrett, if you would, come on up here. And I asked him about this way in advance. And so he's going to be a good family pastor and help me with this. So we're going to pull this out here. Ooh. Right here's good. Yeah, let's go right there. All right, so you know at the carnival games that you never win because it's always rigged? You ready? This is our vision, guys. So what we're doing today is, remember, let's say this is where we want to go as a church. Like this is, there's a singular motivation and a singular goal that we want to hit. We want this target as a church where we want everything we do to hit this target, right? But let's say, go ahead and put your blindfolds on. Phil, I need you to come up here and stand right here. I'm just kidding. All right, Garen, here we go, buddy. All right, you are. Here's your darts. All right, the board's right in front of you, man. Just kidding. All right, he's got three shots. And I told him, I said, Garrett, if you hit the balloon, my illustration is busted. Literally. So go ahead and give it your first shot. Let's go. Phil is not up here yet. Close.
No.
No.
You need to go left or right.
A little bit right.
A little right?
Yeah, a little bit right. This way is right.
My child is over here.
All right. It stuck somewhere, but it did not stick the balloon. Last one. Give him a round of applause for missing. Look, that's why I love the church. They clap at you for even missing, right? Good job. But here's what we want to do today, guys. I know that's fun, but I want us to take the blinders off, and I want us to see what we can't hit, what we can't see. If we can't see the mark, we can't hit it, right? And listen, let's just say you want to run a marathon, right? And you have trained really hard and you feel good. You're like, man, I'm going to do well in this marathon. And you're ready to run, right? And you're ready to run far. That's far, right? But it doesn't matter how well you run or if you hit a PR in that marathon, if you're running in the wrong direction. Like, we got to run together in the same direction, giving all we got. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about what is that mark? What should we be hitting at? When you gather at Wade, as a member of Wade Baptist, what should that look like for us as a church? What is that mark? Which direction do we just go all out in and go all out? Like that marathon, run as hard as you can in the name of Jesus in the right direction. All right, that's what we want to do. And so we, through much prayer and just lots of conversation, we feel like this is the mark that we want to hit as a church, right? This is what we want to do. As Wade Baptist, we want to exist for this sole purpose. We want to, and it's a four-part, we want to make much of Jesus. Right, we can get behind that, can't we? We want to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations for the glory of God. That's the mark we want to hit. We want to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who take the gospel to their neighbors and the nations. Why? For the glory of God. And that's all in Scripture. This is simple. I'm simple-minded, right? We said, hey, let's go to the book. Like, what does God want for Wade Baptist Church? Like, who does He want us to be? Well, we know that He wants us to make much of Jesus, and we're going to break this down in four parts. He wants us to make much of Jesus. Listen, He wants you to make much of Jesus, but He also wants you to be a disciple-making disciple. Be and make, right? In turn, right, take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. Why? So that God will get all the glory. So that Psalms 150 verse 6 will happen. That all people will praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord to that end for the glory of God. Not for my glory, not for anybody else's glory, but for the glory of God to that end. And so this is who we want to be. That's the mark. That's where we run to. That's where we gather and we say, we encourage each other and we say, hey, remember where we're heading. The book tells us He wants us to make much of Jesus, be and make disciples who take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations for the glory of God. And as ministers here, and as your pastor, I love what Paul says in Colossians 1:28 verse through 29. Paul says, we proclaim Him. Who are they proclaiming? Jesus. Warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And Paul says, I labor for this, striving with His strength. Whose strength? Jesus' strength that works powerfully in me. And so listen, our goal here is that we want to present everyone mature in Christ. Like, we don't just want to make converts, we want to make disciples. And so with that, we want to strive with proclaiming Jesus, teaching in all wisdom, as Paul says, so that we can present you mature in Christ. And listen, that's the weight that we carry as ministers. We want you to keep looking at Jesus, right? So that you'll be a disciple. You'll follow after Him. Right? That you'll go from just being an attender to being a disciple who is taking the gospel and then in return is discipling other people so that we can present people mature in Christ. That's what we want to do. And you know the good thing about this? Listen, is we get to do this together. And we get to do this together as a family, going in the same direction, saying, look, what are we about? Well, hey, we unapologetically make much of Jesus because we know that's where hope's found. But in return to that, what does that mean? What does that look like for us? Well, that's what we want to talk about here. So I broke it down in four parts, right? And these four parts are, what do? How do we do it? Where do we do it? And why do we do it? Right? And so the first one is, what do we do? Right? What do we do? Well, we make much of Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection in all we do. Why? so that Jesus and His gospel might have first place in our lives in this church. That's what we do. We make much of Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection so that He might have first place in His church and in you. I love what Paul says in Colossians 1, 17 through 18. He says, Jesus, he says, He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. Right? So really, I mean, if we want to get biblical about it, who's really in charge here? Jesus. Like he's the head of the body. So we're the body, but as a body we have a head, and that head is Jesus Christ, Paul says. Why? Because He's before all things. Everything's created through Him. And so then he goes on to say, He's the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? So that He might come to have first place in everything. First place in everything. In your heart, in our church, and in your heart, right? That's what we want. We want Jesus to have first. Jesus, Paul says, deserves our first and our best. That's what He deserves. And so as a church, to what end? What are we going to do? What do we do? And we make much of Jesus. Why? Because Paul says He's before all things. And all things are held together by Jesus, right? Why? So that He might come to have first place in everything. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 4, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul says, I passed on to you as most important. Now, there are many important things in the life of a church. There are many important things in your life. I get that. But Paul says what's most important is the gospel. What's most important is that Jesus would be made much of in your life and our church. So yeah, there's many important things that we're going to say, yeah, that's important. We should do that, or we should be a part of that. But what's most important in light of all those is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that He's alive, Paul said. And that He's alive. Because you see, the reality, the Corinthian church had all kinds of moral problems. Like, go read Corinthians and you'll think, man, we're doing pretty good. I mean, they had dysfunctional family situations. There was doctrinal confusion. There was division in the church at Corinth. There was moral failings, right? But what did Paul say? Paul said, my answer to all that dysfunction in the church, to all that division, to all those moral failings, Paul says, my answer to all that is simply Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says the solution for all of those things is in grasping Christ and Him crucified and having Him at the center. Paul said, so that He might have first place in everything. And so I know this to be true as a church. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, things start bubbling up to the surface. Things that we don't want to bubble up to the surface. And so listen, what do we have to do? What's our rallying cry? Hey, make much of Jesus. That's the most important thing. And I know that and these are the conversations that we've been having, and not only that, but experiencing this to be true in our life. You know, a few months ago, we had a strand of tragedies in our community. Gut-wrenching. Gut-wrenching tragedies. Break your heart. And so God, through His mercy and His grace, allowed us and me and Garen and Phil to kind of lean into those with those families who were experiencing loss. And so as a pastor, that's what you do. You see where hurting people are, and you just gravitate towards that. So we're like, hey, what can we do? Like, we'll do anything. We'll just sit there. And so we're allowed in, and then Him and I were talking, and you just feel this pressure. You see people hurting, and what do you want to do? You want to help. You hurt with them. But you know, Garrett, as wise as he is, we're driving, and I was like, Garrett, what do we say? What do we do, man? He says, Brandon, look, we're one-trick ponies, man. All we have is Jesus and hope in Christ, and that's enough. And so you know what we did? We leaned into those situations, and we pointed them to Jesus. We made much of Jesus. Says, look, Jesus is alive. Right? Revelation 1 says He defeated sin, death, hell, and the grave. And on the way out, He grabbed the keys. And so that's the Jesus that we give people. Not the one that we were comfortable with, the one of the Bible. Like, that's where hope is found, church. And so we leaned into those conversations with these hurting families. We just said, hey, Jesus is alive. Sin, death, hell, and the grave has been defeated. And so that's the hope. That's where we place our hope, church. That's what we give people. And listen, when people think of Wade, I want them to think, man, they love them some Jesus. Like, they make much of Jesus. And listen, here's the thing, though. Here's what we have to die to ourselves. When Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, you must crucify, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Right? Because we can't make much of ourselves and Jesus at the same time. We have to choose. Every day when you wake up, who am I going to make much of today? Because where's real hope found? Listen, I can't offer people a lot. But what I do have is Jesus Christ, a resurrected Jesus Christ who can give them hope. And so, you know what I want to do? I want to die to myself. And when you walk into those schools, when you walk into that workplace, when you gather around the dinner table, what do we do as a church? We give people Jesus. That's where hope's found. I mean, in this situation with me and my family, can I tell you, every step Jesus has been so faithful and so good to us. And you know who he's used to do that? You. You have made much of Jesus in our life. And you know what it's done to us? Hey, we're going to be all right. We have hope. This illness doesn't have the final say. Jesus is alive. And where all this is heading, church, where all this is heading. Listen, do not, I was listening to a sermon yesterday, cutting grass. That's where the Lord speaks, you know. You just cut grass, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. It's either that or the shower. I'm not quite sure why that happens. A lot of you men would agree, a lot of life's problems have been solved on a lawnmower. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this podcast and the guy was talking about hope. And you read 1 Peter, like the whole overarching theme of 1 Peter is we have hope because Jesus is alive. Right? Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Like that's where the hope comes. It's not circumstantial hope, like where we have wishful thinking, right? Where we hope that our circumstances will change. So no. 1 Peter saying, don't put your hope in things that will change. Put your hope in someone who doesn't change. Like even in the midst of those things. And so he's preaching and he says, look, where all this is heading. Like God's story is heading to all things new. That's where we put our hope in. And so you know what we need to, we don't need to judge a moment based, we don't need to judge God's story where everything is heading based on a moment in of our life. We judge that moment by God's story. That's what we do. You see, you know why we can do that? Because Jesus is alive. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, listen, if Jesus is not resurrected from the grave, we're all stuck in our sins. You know what he's saying? You know what basically he's saying? He's saying, hey, pack this up and go home. Pack it up and go home because Jesus is still in his grave. But you know, hey, can I tell you? He's not in his grave anymore. He's alive. He's resurrected. And Satan's a jerk and he wants to use that light. So don't look at it. All right? So listen. Here it is, guys. We want to make much of Jesus, amen? And when people think of way, they see you out in the community, you see an opportunity to make much of Jesus. And listen, God's always at work and he's going to give you those times and those moments where you can lean in if you're willing to die to self to make much of him. Man, we're out at breakfast at Waffle House, you know, and anytime I get an opportunity to get invited to Waffle House, I'm there. Like, cancel my schedule. The all-star breakfast is there, and that's the only time where I feel like an all-star, right? And so we're going, and there's a waitress there. Her name is Paige. And so Marshall and I and Garen, and so, Gina, I just laid on my heart, you know, I have this opportunity. Make much of Jesus, Brandon. That's what you're called to do. And so I just said, hey, Paige, is it all right if I pray with you? We're about to pray over this meal. Can we pray over you? And man, she just broke. And she started telling her story and everything. And I said, Paige, I just want this to be a reminder to you that Lord sees you. Even in this moment of your life where it's hard and difficult, he hasn't forgotten about you. That's what, make much of Jesus, guys. That's the hope that we have. And we know this to be true. How do we grow in our love for God? We see more of Jesus. That's how we grow in our love for God. How do we grow in obedience, in self-control, in the fruits of the Spirit. How do we do that? Listen, we see more of Jesus. Now the fruits of the Spirit are produced in your life not by stapling them to yourself or just adding them or trying harder. The fruit of the Spirit is when you look more to Jesus. And so listen, I've said this before and this is true. The fire to do in the Christian life is soaked in what's been done for you in Jesus. Do you hear that? The fire to do in the Christian life is soaked in what's been done for you in Jesus. And so listen, what we declare people is we don't have a do faith. We have a done faith. It's done. And it was finished in the grave. And so for us, for any chance of new life in you, any chance of growth in you, any chance of us reaching our community, we got to make much of Jesus. And that's my heart. That's what I want us to do. Well, then that's what we do. We make much of Him unapologetic in all things, in your family, right? Here, our Sunday school rooms, our community groups, we make much of Jesus. And then, so how do we do it? Well, we seek to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who fulfill God's mission found in the Great Commission. Reaching the lost and growing the reached. That's what we do. We do both. Right? Phil explained it kind of like an airplane. Like if you're just so heavy on one, you're not going anywhere. So what we want to do is we want to be disciples and we want to, right? How do we want to do this? Well, we want to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples. We want to reach the lost and grow the reached. I love, we know this, you've heard this before, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." H.B. Charles, I got to hear him preach this in person. And he said, if Jesus has all authority, what does that mean for anybody else? Nobody has none. Nobody else has any authority besides what he gives us. And so Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. He says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. Mark 16:5 says, then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And all creation. And so what do we see here? We see an imperative. We see an action step. And listen, when you look at the Great Commission, we normally say, well, the imperative there is what? Go. Well, that is an imperative. But the focus on the Great Commission isn't really the going, it's the making disciple. It's the making disciple. So how do we do it? Well, we take the gospel and we make disciples. And here's the truth, guys. Only a disciple can make another disciple. Only a disciple can make another disciple. You can't teach others what you don't know yourself. And listen. And if you're like, hey, I don't know if I can make disciples because I've never been discipled myself. That's what we're leaning into. Hey, we want to do that. We want to disciple you. We want to grow you. And then in return, you go and make other disciples. And so what are we asking you to do? Be and make disciples. Be one, make one. That's what we're doing. We want to be a disciple to make a disciple. And so how are we going to do this? Through discipleship. Through discipleship. Because Jesus said, we go and we make disciples, not just converts. Jesus didn't say, go and make a convert. He said, go and make disciples. But how are we going to do this? We're going to be disciples. We're going to be discipled. Right? So only a disciple can make a disciple. Jesus kind of fleshes out what a disciple is in Mark chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. We know this story. He sees the first disciples and he says, follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I think Jesus really offers what a whole disciple should look like. So when you think about being a disciple, what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? What does that look like for us as a church when we talk about discipleship? Well, I think really Jesus gives us this recipe of what a whole disciple looks like. What did he say? He said, follow me. So we can right off the bat, we know a disciple has someone who is following Jesus. Following, and I think, listen, that means more than what we think it means. Like following Jesus means I acknowledge that He is Lord and King of the universe, and I submit my life to Him. He's in front, and I'm following Him. Like I've changed ownership of my life, and I've given it to Jesus. You see what I mean? Listen, following Jesus means I have listened to His plea to die to myself, and I have agreed to the terms and conditions. And I allow Him to lead me, and I follow. That means that I don't get to call the shots in my life anymore. I've submitted to Him. That means all the rooms in my heart that I want control of, He has every key to every door. And He gets to choose. And so me acknowledging that He is Lord. And so listen, right now from the front, are you following Jesus? Like, is that what your life looks like? Like, I think we would say, yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah, he died on the cross for me. But then we'd follow it up with, are you following Jesus? So a disciple follows Jesus. And then secondly, He says, follow me and I will make you. So what does that mean? Hey, we don't change ourselves. We don't grow into this disciple by ourselves. Who's doing it? The Holy Spirit. Jesus is doing it. He says, I will make you. And so listen, it's not work-based, right? We're not trying to shame you into doing something. What are we doing? We're trying to get you to look to Jesus because that's where you are changed. And so Jesus is changing you if you're following Him. Like we follow Him, and then He begins to change us. We follow Him by faith, and then our life starts to look different because He's changing us. He told the disciples, He says, I will make you. I will make you. And see, that's where true change comes. It doesn't come from behavior modification. That's not what we're after here. Like, yeah, we're after discipleship, but we're not asking you to force yourself into such a way to where you're trying to fit a mold. We're asking you to look to Jesus and let Him change you from your heart on the inside out. That's what we're asking. And so He will change you. And maybe the reason we're not being changed like we want to be is because one or two things. We're trying to do it all ourselves. I think there's perpetually this idea that the gospel is only good for me to get me into Christianity. Like the gospel message is only the doorway into this thing. It's like if I want to be part of a church that makes much of Jesus and does all these things, then I got to believe in the gospel. No, it's the rest of your life. Like speaking the truth of the gospel over your life and not trying to just change your behavior, but allow God to transform your heart through Jesus. That's what we're at. That's discipleship. But how do we do that? We do it through His Word. We got to get in His Word. He's got to change us. Right? Through prayer, through doing this. And so Jesus says, a disciple follows me, but is being changed by me. And then lastly, is committed to the mission of Jesus. So we follow Jesus. We are being changed by Jesus. And we're making other disciples of Jesus. He said, because I'll make you fish for men. I'll make you fish for people. And I'm sure that didn't make sense really to the disciples up front. They're like, okay, yeah. And so they started following Him and their life began to look different. Right? And they began to be changed slowly. I think Peter took a little bit longer. That's okay. I take a little bit longer in certain areas. We all do. But Jesus was even faithful to Peter, walked with him, restored him at the end of John. And aren't you glad He chose fishermen and tax collectors? He chose ordinary men to do extraordinary things, but they didn't do extraordinary things. God did it through them. And they were just ordinary people like you and me. And Jesus says in the Gospels, He says, if anyone would come after me, you know what that means? Every person you see has the invitation to follow Jesus. But He also says, come and die and follow me. And listen, if we're not willing to do that, then Jesus would say, don't come. Don't come. If you're willing to come to me and die to yourself and take up the cross and then follow me, then come. Because I'll do it through you. And so then if I'm a disciple, I'm committed to His mission of making other disciples. And so how do we do it? We seek to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who fulfill the mission found in the Great Commission, reaching the lost and growing the reached. Well, then where do we do it? Where do we do this? Well, we said we're called to take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. Right, we're called to take the gospel to our neighbors locally, here, the people that live in front of you, the people that live beside you, the people that are immediately outside these doors. We take the gospel to them. And then we take it to the nations, right? So that all people may trust and follow Jesus. That's whole Acts 67. Let all peoples praise you, God. All the peoples praise you. Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise you. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Did you see the started in Jerusalem and then it went to the ends of the earth? And see, this is why, like, hey, growing in disciple, like being a disciple, that's why we value small groups. That's why we value Sunday school, right? And eventually we'll start diving into equipping groups where we want to equip you and train you. How do I disciple my kids? How do I be a parent that makes disciples? Or how do I become a disciple? So those are the questions that we're going to be leaning into. But with here, where do we do it? Well, we got to take the gospel. If we want to be a disciple and make disciples, then we got to take the gospel. And that's why we value community groups are a vital aspect of us being disciples who make disciples. We want to take the gospel to our neighbors. Listen, I love what Jesus says. You know, in the Gospels, it's both come and see and go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. I love what Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, I got my trusty flashlight here. Like, I just whipped that out. And, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. You are. He says, a city situated on a hill. Right? No one puts a lamp over the light. It can't give light to the whole house. And he says, you're the salt of the earth. Right, but can you imagine, you know, a flashlight is good when it's dark. So when it gets dark, you ask, where's the light? Like, what happened to the light? And so you go and you get a flashlight. But what we don't do with flashlights is we just hang out with them outside, right? Or with other flashlights. We just point them together. Listen, our light that's in us, this is good. It recharges us. Man, it encourages us. Jesus is good. And we come and we sing, and then what's in us just gets, oh, it just, a passion wells up in us. We sing Christ be magnified. We sing death was arrested. And then we go out these doors and we become light. Salt. Do you know what that means? Salt is a preservative. So what do? We run to the dying and the decaying things, and we give them Jesus. We give them the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected so that you could be freely, fully, forever forgiven in Christ by faith in Him. And so where do we do it? You do it to the person across your street. Listen, how terrible would it be to live somewhere for so long and not even talk to your, but come and worship. Man, we got all our lights are going on in here. But then the person across the street, we've never had a conversation with them about Jesus. Man, how terrible would that be? And so where do we do it? We do it here. And then we do it across the world. We take the gospel. We got to be come and tell, but we also got to be go and tell. Come and see, but go and tell, church. Go and tell. That's why we say you're sent. Go be light in the dark places. Go be salt in the decaying places. You are that. Jesus in you. Paul said, he said, this is the mystery that God gave us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, man, we should be just these hope machines walking around. Like, he's in us, right? He's in us. But man, we got to take him. He wants people to come and see, but he also wants you to go and tell. And so we take the gospel, the message, the Jesus Christ crucified, buried, but then resurrected from the grave so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. So why do we do it? We do all this for the glory of God. We want God to be glorified more than anything. Not me. I can't offer anybody anything other than what Jesus has already done for them, and that's enough. And so we do that for the glory of God, so that God will get all the glory. And so here's where we are today, guys. When you think of this statement, we exist to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations for the glory of God. You know what we're going to be judged by, church? I know, and what I'm going to be judged by, what you're going to be judged by, what we're going to be judged by as a church. What did we do with Jesus? You know, Pilate, crucifying Jesus, he washed his hands. Jesus is alive. And you and me, we don't get the opportunity just to wash our hands with Jesus. What are you and I going to do with Jesus? That's what we're going to be judged with. What are you doing making much of Jesus? What are we doing with making much of Jesus? That's what we're going to be judged by. And listen, I don't know about you, but God makes me pretty nervous, really nervous, that when I live this life in light of eternity, it shifts some things in me a little bit. It should shift some things in you. You and I are going to stand before God. That's a reality. And so really, that future reality, you know what it does for me? It makes me kind of just, hey, what am I doing in light of that with Jesus personally? Am I following him? If he says go, am I going? Am I following him? Am I becoming like him? And am I making other disciples? But also, in light of that, what am I doing with Jesus? Like, eternity is real. And I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, the love of Christ compels us. He says, he reconciled us to himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He reconciled us to himself, but he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you and me the ministry of reconciliation. I love that. And that's where we get 2 Corinthians 5:17, that anybody be in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, all things are made new. But it comes from us being ambassadors for Christ, he also says, being an ambassador for him. Right? The ministry of reconciliation. But he says the love of Christ compels us. Listen, when we experience the love of Christ, the Jesus that we see in Scripture, it compels us, right, to take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations for the glory of God. Like, it compels us. It doesn't just give us a concern. Like, we can say, well, I have a concern for them. No, concerns give us an option. Compelling moves us in a direction. You know what we want to do? We want to be compelled, church. We want to be compelled for those that are out there, our neighbors and the nations, with the gospel. We want to go. Come and see, but go and tell. But what do we do? What do we do? We make much of Jesus. In light of all this, we want to be a church that makes much of Jesus. I don't know if she's in here or not. Yes, she is. I'm not going to call her out. But of our sweet members, she didn't know she did this for me, but she did. Man, we have been wrestling with this. Man, like, is this scripture? Like, we want to make sure we got things to back this up, because this is where we're going to be leading people to. So, man, we have had many conversations about this, just looking in God's Word, praying. And I found myself, again, Satan's a jerk. And so he starts putting little doubts and fears in you. You know, I begin to question and talking to the guys. Hey, what? And I get home and I get this note, and in it, it says, "Hey, we love." That phrase you use, making much of Jesus, man, just encourages me. She didn't know that. She didn't know this was going to be where we were heading. But she just, God used her to encourage us, and I believe this is what God wants us to do as a church. He wants you and I to spend our life. Like, look, I want my life to count for eternity. And I know you do too. And that only happens when we make much of Jesus. When we make much of his Son. And this Jesus that we find in Scripture. And so I want to ask you, where are you kind of in this? I want to ask that maybe you would just commit to this. Maybe your response is, I need to go to the altar and I want to commit to this. I want to walk. I want to be a part of what the Lord's doing here. I want to make much of Jesus. So God, teach me how to do that. Listen, parents, we're losing our time with them, right? We know that. Man, that weighs on me constantly. So yesterday we got this new board game and we're playing. We're a competitive family, super competitive. And so it's in those moments where even in that, I want to make much of Jesus with my kids. Time is short. And so we got a mark to hit. God gave us a mark to hit. And that's to make much of His Son. And that's to tell people that Jesus is alive. And there's hope in Him. And so would you just bow your head just for a moment? And I want to just ask you for a minute, what are you going to do with Jesus today? Maybe just the commitment within you is, hey, I want to make much of Jesus. And maybe this altar is just filled with people saying, God, teach me how to do that in my life, when I go to work tomorrow, when in this church, I want to be discipled. So maybe you grab one of us by the hand and you say, look, I want to make disciples, but I need someone discipling me. And we have spaces for that. We want to disciple you. But in a moment, we're also going to partake in the Lord's Supper. And what I want is I want you in this moment too, twofold. Man, think about this vision statement. We exist to make much of Jesus by being and making disciples who take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. Think about that for a minute. Where do you fit in that? Where's your next step in that? Or maybe, hey, we're about to take the Lord's Supper and we don't want to take it unworthily. Right? We want to honor and worship and make much of Him even in this moment. So maybe there's some things in you. Maybe repentance and confession hasn't happened in a while. And so before you partake in the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you to do that. And listen, we're all unworthy to take it. We're all unworthy to take it. But thank God through Jesus, we're able to approach the table through the grace of God and be reminded of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And so you just take a moment with the Lord and then we'll come back. This altar is open. I'm here if you need some prayer. And then we'll come back with the Lord's Supper. Jesus, we thank you that you entrust us with the gospel message. God, I pray that I articulated your word well enough to where people could understand, God, what you've put in my heart long ago. God, help us to the power of your Holy Spirit, to be a church that makes much of your Son. God, and seeks to follow him. Seeks to be changed by him and seeks to be committed to your mission to reach the lost and grow the reached. God, everything else pales in comparison to that. In Jesus' name. If you have your Lord's Supper We're going to partake in this. And listen, if you don't have any, we have some ushers that are here that would be more than welcome to give you this. But hey, I want you to partake this in light of what we just heard, making much of Him. And so right now, let this be a commitment that through His body, being reminded of His body and the blood that was shed, I want to make much of You, Jesus. I want to make much of You. Let me read you this passage before we dive into Lord's Supper. And Revelation has been so good to me. I love it. You know, Revelation actually means the great unveiling. Like, what's really there? Like we get caught up in things and we doubt and we forget what's really there. And so John's on the Isle of Patmos. He's all alone. And he's probably thinking, hey, what's the deal? Like, I followed You. I told You that I wouldn't make much of You, Jesus. I'd go to the ends of the earth. But here I find myself abandoned with nobody. And so Jesus sees him and He reveals Himself to him and He lays His hand on him. And John didn't really know who it was until this moment. In Revelation 1, verse 12, it says, "Then I turned to see whose voice it was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe with a gold sash wrapped around His chest. The hair of His head was white as wool, white as snow." I know we try to get away from having white hair, but that's wisdom. Jesus is all wise. And John sees Him, and not only that, but his eyes were like fiery flames, piercing fiery flames. His feet were like bronze and that had been fired in the furnace, and His voice like sounds of cascading waters. He held 7 stars in His right hand. A sharp double-edged sword came from His mouth, and His face was shining like the sun at full strength. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet like a dead man. And He laid His right hand on me, and He said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and I am the last and the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." That's the Jesus that we get to make much of. That's the Jesus we're trying to get you to lean in to say, Him, follow Him. Him, the one who's alive, whose hair is as white as snow, His all-wise, piercing eyes. And can you imagine being John in that moment thinking, oh, we were friends and I walked the earth with You and saw You do many things, and I've been on the Isle of Patmos missing You, but You're different. We're not equals. We're not the same. And so He laid His hand on Him. John, this is what's real. This is what's really happening. This is the thing behind the thing. You know what we get to do, church? He's inviting us in to go and make much of Him. Oh, I'm thankful for that. And that I get to do it with You. Like, I get to... You're a joy to pastor. You know that? I don't know if many of you know. I'm kind of getting off script here, but hey, we don't have another service, so you're stuck. We locked the doors. We Katie barred them. So you're good. Listen, my family and I, we were heading to Memphis to plant a church. I was stuck on that. And I thought, you know, that's what we're going to do. We got involved with the church plant residency, and they only picked one. And for whatever reason, they picked us. And Allie and I were heading to that end. And the pastor position came open, and I said, hey, I want to help any way I can. So, hey, I'll step in and transition you guys to whoever God has here. And it was fun. I got lots of fun doing that and just going in the middle of COVID. So I don't know how that's fun. Right? Like, what's happening? And then, you know, the search team approached us and said, hey, why don't you submit your resume? And Jimmy could tell this. And my first answer was, no, God's sending us. We're heading to Brandon for 11 months, and we're going to be there, and we're going to learn how to plant a church, what that looks like. So I'll help you transition to that. And they kept asking, and Allie said, why don't you just try? Well, have that conversation with them. So I said, yeah, I will. I'll do that. So we sat down with them and just had a wonderful conversation. And I remember through that process of having a conversation with the search team, with feeling, I really think we're going to go plant. I'm reading scripture one morning, and it was 1 Peter chapter 5. And he's talking to the elders, and he says, pasture the flock among you. Man, it just like jumped off the page, and I began to like see you. And so listen, that's what God called me here to do, is to pasture you, shepherd you. And that's what I want to do. I want to shepherd you. But to the end of us making much of Jesus, I want to walk alongside you. We're going to get some bumps and bruises along the way, right? We're going to maybe do things differently. To what end, though? You know from me, to what end that we would make much of Jesus? That Jesus we see in Scripture. That one. And it's going to be fun, right? For Jesus, let's go push back darkness, right? Let's go be a little odd. It's okay. Let's go do things differently than people's ever seen before. Why? To what end? So that Jesus would be made much of for the glory of God. So now we get to thank Him. We get to thank Him for His body that was broken and the blood that was shed for us. I love this. In Matthew it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it. And He gave it to His disciples. And He says, take, this is my body. Go ahead and break open the bread. Take and eat. This is my body. We remember you, Lord. Then He took a cup, and after giving thanks, He gave it to them, and He said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for dying for us, Jesus. We remember you. All right, well, we're going to end in song, and when we end, you guys are dismissed, but I wanted to usher us to worship with the idea of, man, we just want to make much of Jesus. We want to be and make disciples who take the gospel to our neighbors and the nations.